blessings on us and enable us to render due gratitude and appreciation of all these blessings which we did not ask for. Allah in His infinite wisdom and mercy and love and compassion gave it to us, so we use them in the manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we always make dua that Allah ta'ala must not take it away from us on account of our own ignorance or on our own heedlessness. Respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a system in this world of continuously sending Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And the function and the task of the Anbiya alayhi salam was to continuously and constantly reform mankind, keep on bringing him back on the straight path and on the straight line. The Anbiya alayhi salam had no other mission except to reconnect mankind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reconnect, that means man lost his connection somewhere. And to put him back on the straight path, that means man went on to another path. And this system, my respected friends and brothers, was what we call the sunnatullah. And the question arises, why was there a need for mankind to continuously be reminded and be brought back on the straight path? So the answer to that is very, very simple, that man, by nature, when he is born, first of all, is born ignorant. Nobody was ever told that the Maulana was born in that baby, people's house yesterday. No baby was born alim. Nobody was born with wisdom. Nobody was born pious. You know what? That baby was born yesterday. So pious baby. No. All these things, my respected friends and brothers, they come to people after a certain amount of effort. Not a little effort, but a lot of effort. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's task was to bring about all goodness, knowledge, justice, compassion, love and mercy into mankind. Because man has got these qualities in him. Man has got the capability of bringing these qualities in him and then spreading light throughout the world with these qualities. The only man is able to do that. No one else can do that. That's why in the tafsir of the ayat which I just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that inna aradna al-amana, that verily we presented the amana. Amana we normally translate it as trust. So what is this amana? So the mufassirin, the commentators have given different meanings. But one is this, the amana of spreading light on the face of the earth. Allah says we presented this great amana, this great task to the mountains, inna ala samawat, to the skies, wal ardh, to the earth, wal jibal, to the mountains, and these huge, huge creations of Allah Ta'ala, they recoil. فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِلْ. They say, ah, we can't do this job. And then Allah Ta'ala gave it to man. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. And Allah Ta'ala said, man took on this responsibility. Why man took on this responsibility? Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Verily, he is very, very oppressive. And he is very, very ignorant also. Two things. So the fact that man has been described to possess ignorance and oppression in him is a sign that man has also got the capability of removing this and having the quality of knowledge and the quality of justice. Because man has got the qualities of zulm and jahul in him, ignorance and injustice, he also has got the capability of having the opposite qualities. We will not say something that doesn't have the quality of changing itself, that it is a jahil. We can't say this member here is a jahil, because it will never become an alim. We can't say this member here is very unjust, because it will never become just. But when Allah says man has got these two qualities in him, that means man has got the quality of removing these, changing it, and also spreading the light everywhere else. That is what mankind is, my respected friends and brothers. So man is born like that. Or man is also vulnerable to become very much more worse. He's born in darkness. He's born in a dark world. There's a whole lot of temptations and wrong things around him. And if he is not in any way brought onto the straight path, then he is going to become worse. So that's why Allah in His wisdom made sure that He did not leave mankind. He carried on sending Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to reform man and to bring them onto the straight path, my respected friends and brothers. So, that is what this entire system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entails. And the second thing about man, apart from his birth qualities which we spoke about, is that man has got the propensity, the inclination to always go towards something that is bad. Because Allah did not make us angels. So if we find somebody doing bad, we must not be judgmental on him. We must say he's an insan, he's not an angel. If he is only expected to be doing good, then he's Hazrat Sam Farishta alayhi salam on the face of this earth. But he's insan. And insan, la'ammaratum bisu. He's got nafs, and the nafs is something that commands and pushes a person towards doing that what is bad. So that is the nature of things as far as insan and man is concerned. That is why he has to be constantly worked upon, reminded, reformed, and brought onto the straight path. That was the system of all the Anbiya alayhim salam and the object of their mission. And that is what man is supposed to be doing on the face of the earth. Each one is supposed to be reminding each other. And the example of man inclining towards bad can be looked at in another example. That, you know, on this earth, for example, if we look at a beautiful house that has been put up, beautiful house, very nice mansion with all the latest equipment and the furnishings and whatever else is needed in the house. But if that house is not maintained, in a little while what happens? The things start falling, they start breaking, they start, getting damaged. Because then they become, but this was such a beautiful house. What happened to it? Many times people speak about the hotels in Makkah and Medina. I say, 5 years, 10 years ago we stayed in this hotel, it was brand new. So see what happened to it now. We've heard this many times, the tongue of the people. No maintenance. So man also needs to be maintained, my respected friends and brothers. So this house, it breaks down. That is the nature of this thing, that if you don't make an effort on it, it's going to incline towards something that is going to be destructive, ruinous, and going to bring it to its end. Or even in the case of a beautiful garden. MashaAllah, we find such beautiful gardens with so much of flowers and greenery and shrubs and trees and beautifully trimmed lawn, and got gardeners working on it all the time and doing everything that needs to be done. And give the gardeners off 2 months, say come back after 2 months, and then don't do any work on the garden 2 months and see what the garden will look like. So my respected friends and brothers, it will immediately go towards, to become a wild bush. There will be an overgrowth there. There will be insects, there will be snakes, there will be scorpions and all of that. So the same with men. If we don't make an effort on men, my respected friends and brothers, then all these bad qualities will come in him. He has to be constantly reminded. Or we take the example of beautiful food, how beautiful it is presented there. When, nowadays presentation of food is an art on its own. So when the food is prepared there, and all, how much of ingredients go in it, and how it is set, and how it is served. Just leave it there for overnight or 2 nights, the same food. And then tell the people, now come and eat. They'll all run away from there. Because that is what happens. It's inclined towards going towards getting spoiled. So the same with insan, my respected friends and brothers. He has to be continuously and constantly reminded. And if he's not reminded, then these are the things that are likely to happen to him. Now this reminding that takes place, it can be at various levels. There is reminding that takes place on the level of in our own homes. If reminding takes place on a constant basis, making Islah, educating the children at home, then the benefit of that will be there will be respect in the house. And if that thing doesn't take place, you will find the children will stop respecting their elders. They will disregard their elders. They will ignore them. They will not show appreciation to what has been done to them. They will not have love for themselves and for their parents also. They will just flaunt and waste and do everything they can do. Parents will have to continuously tell them, and we hear this, what didn't I do for you? How come you can do this? I did this for you. I did that. So if there was an effort of continuously reminding and nurturing the children, then this thing does not come in such a house. The second thing is, if on a social level, people don't interact with each other and don't reform them and correct them, then what is going to happen is the tolerance for immorality and immodesty will be lost. In other words, people will do wrong and others were not going to worry about it. A few years ago, how people used to act, how they used to dress, how they used to speak. And now if you see how they, and people say, well, that's how it has become. And people are no longer worried of how much of, you know, nudity, how much of immorality openly is taking place. They say, well, it is like that. And it doesn't hurt, it doesn't worry, it doesn't bother anybody, because the evil of that has left the heart. And if reminding and reforming does not take place on a communal level, communities don't tell each other about it, then, my respected friends and brothers, the rot that will set in is that of untrustworthiness, dishonesty, which will finally manifest itself in corruption. Corruption at every level. We don't have to look anywhere in the world. There's more news items about corruption in any of our media than anything else. And so we can see what is happening. And if it is not done, reforming on a national level, on a higher level, then what we will find is that people will commit zulm, oppression. And if we look at the oppression that is carried out at this point in time in the world with impunity and with arrogance, how certain powers just do what they want to make people homeless and just bomb them and just deprive them and treat them like subhumans, and nobody's saying anything about it. If they have to flaunt, or rather flout, their own systems of what they call democracy and whatever it might be, they will do it to make zulm on other people. So we can look at any news item and we'll see how much of double standards that are being carried out, but all that is zulm. So these are the four levels, my respected friends and brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us in the Quran. He says, Kuntum, you, all of you, khaira ummah, you are the best of nations. Ta'amuruna bil ma'ruf, ukhrijat lil nas, taken out for the guidance of men. You have to continuously guide the people. You have to continuously remind them. Who? The Muslims? No, lil nas, all the people. What? You have to do two things. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, exhort people to do good and prevent them from evil. If this is not done, then you will find all these four evils that I made mention of and others also that will beset a community, and it will be a community that is sick with every kind of ill that we can find about. And we'll just sit and be suffering and moaning and groaning and talking about it, but nothing will be done about it. So this in itself is actually an adab. It's an adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once, there's one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Beware of such a musibah, such a calamity that will not only fall a group amongst you, but it will fall generally on everybody else. An azab, a punishment will come on you. So normally when we speak of, you know, punishment and azab, we have the normal perceived concept of azab to be, for example, you know, some earthquake or a volcano or a flood, whatever it is, we just think about that in the form of azab. But here the azab is all these ills in our own home. You know, so many times you find parents saying, this child has brought Jahannam into my life. He's made our life a living hell. So azab has come right in our homes. Or in the community, some evil is taking place. Or on a greater level, we are mourning about corruption and how people are suffering and how people are on the take and how people are giving and whatever it might be. But the difficulty and the problems that are coming as a result of that, it is an azab, my respected friends and brothers. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about that azab. Not necessarily that, you know, one of the natural catastrophes will come down on somebody. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ اللَّهِ تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَّمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. One Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the house, and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha describes his face at that time to be very sad and very worried. And she says he came there, and then he went into the masjid, and I was listening, what is he going to say? And then he warned and cautioned the people that if you don't undertake the obligation of exhorting people to do good and preventing them from evil, then get ready for an azab that is going to come, where you will have such rulers placed over you that will have no mercy for your young and will have no respect for your elders. When you will pick up your hands to make dua, your duas will also not be accepted. So it is something, my respected friends and brothers, we are cautioned about repeatedly, not only in the Quran, but also in the Hadith. Not only looking at the history of the Anbiya, but looking at the history of the various reformers that came on the face of this earth and who made an effort, all the great Sahaba and the Awliya Kiram. And we hear the names of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali and Shaykh Haja Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali and all the other great Buzrugs, my respected friends and brothers. What were they doing? They went to Nizamuddin and they went to Ajmer Sharif and where else they went to. What did they go and do? They went and they worked on the hearts of the people and reformed them. They were not running businesses. They were not doing any worldly. They were doing the work of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Hazrat Khaja Ajmeri rahmatullah alayhi, he sees a dream. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points out to him, you must go there. And so he moves from that area where he comes from, near Iran. And he goes until he comes to what is called Ajmer Sharif. So we all go Ajmer for whatever reason. But the whole legacy of that is the reformation of mankind. And hundreds and thousands upon thousands of people, their lives changed and they became Muslims, my respected friends and brothers. Well, that's a different topic of our awliya, inshallah. We talk about that in our Wednesday night programs. But now, my respected friends and brothers, coming to what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the responsibility of everyone. And if we don't do it and we kind of, you know, shirk our responsibilities, then everybody is going to sink. So sometimes, you know, a person feels, he says, those people are doing wrong, I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to just look the other way. This person is in a problem. Everybody's obligation and responsibility to go and tell somebody on a one-on-one what you are doing is wrong. In our home, if something wrong, it's our responsibility. If we don't do it, then we'll see all these azabs unfolding one after another, as mentioned, my respected friends and brothers. Then others, they say, no, you know what, I'm going to be telling that person, he's going to be offended. So we don't want to tell him, you know, because he's going to tell us off. Mind your own business, man. Come and tell me. So out of fear of that, he can tell you that, but our duty is to tell him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't said that the man must listen to you. And to be repulsed in that manner is normal. That's what the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam received. When the Anbiya alayhimu salam went to give the da'wah, what they got? They didn't get a nice red carpet treatment. They weren't given nice chocolates and flowers and say, no, you're giving. They were stoned, my respected friends and brothers, because this effort comes with it in that way. But we have to do our job. Then, my respected friends and brothers, the other one is that, you know, I'm scared to go and tell them, because normally, if we tell a person, you stop doing backdoor, you say, oh, you come and tell me. What about you busy selling drugs? So we are worried now about, we got our own issues and we're going to tell somebody else. My brothers, reforming others is an obligation which we must not shirk from. Never mind. The most, if we ourselves are doing backdoor, then maybe we say, okay, I'm not going to tell him now. But if you do something else, then we mustn't worry the person is going to jump down on us. No. Reforming ourselves is one obligation and reforming other people is another obligation, and both of these obligations fall equally on every person. So we don't turn away. We don't shirk from our responsibility. You know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the ship that is traveling, and it's two stories, and the people at the bottom decide, you know what, for us to go up the deck and pull water out, rather just make a hole in the bottom of the ship, and the water will come up. And then we got no more problem. So, if the people on the top deck, if they know what these people at the bottom are doing, if they don't stop them, they say, you know what, we can't tell them. They'll get offended. We can't tell them. They're going to tell us other nonsense just now. Just don't worry about it. Then everybody is going to sink. Like this one ship was, you know, it hit an iceberg. Not the Titanic, another ship. Right? It hit the iceberg. And started taking on water. So the people that were on this end, they went to stand on the other end. The ship was keeling now. They were staying on the other end there. They say, hey, those poor chaps there, shame. They're going to drown just now. We are nice, you know. So if something is happening in one part of our town, we mustn't say it's happening there. It's not going to happen here. The ship is like that. Sooner or later, we're also going to go down. So this responsibility, my respected friends, is on everybody. Normally, you know, we say, who must do this job? Allah Ta'ala didn't say, kuntum khayra, ulama, or jamiat, or madrasa, or darul ulum. You are the best of them. No. He says, you, the whole ummah, you are the best of ummahs. So it's not the responsibility of only the ulama or only the responsibility. Say, why? What is the Jamiyah doing about it normally? Everybody is supposed to be doing. Every person who is in the ummah, he is responsible, my respected friends and brothers. Whatever level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes work from him. And everyone we mentioned in the starting has got this capability of reforming himself and spreading the light. Because Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومٌ جَهُولًا. Man has got these bad qualities, but he has got the opposite also in him if he makes an effort on himself. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, in whichever way we are responsible, in whichever way we see it, then we go and alhamdulillah, we make the effort, and it is taking place in so many different ways. Next week, inshallah, the ijtima' is taking place, and the effort of dawah and tabligh that takes place in this way, alhamdulillah, we have seen the results, and we are continuously seeing the results. Not only causes a person's own reformation, it creates a consciousness in his mind that, you know what, I need to put myself right sooner or later. If I don't, I'm going to also go down. Those around me are also going to go down. So this ihsas, this consciousness is created. We know, my respected friends and brothers, next week, inshallah, ijtima will be commencing in Mia's farm. You can go to Mia's farm. It's not the Mia's farm where we went to. We should run away from there. You go there, inshallah, take part in the ijtima, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you will be programmed and whatever is taking place. All brothers requested to participate.